He disappeared, and I stood, walking over and rapping a few knuckles on the locker door. "Louis, how are you doing in there?" The voice was muffled but audible.
"I'm okay. It's a little cramped."
"I bet." A glance at the bear. "Louis, I've got a feeling that if you don't tell us everything you know, my buddy here is going to go get an acetylene unit and weld you in there till doomsday. So how about you start answering my questions?"
"Jimmy hired us to protect Jaya."
I stared at Henry, who for the first time registered a look of mild surprise. "You've got to be kidding." The voice continued.
"That's what we did up in Deer Lodge, run protection rackets."
"You're doing a heck of a job."
"What do you mean?"
"One sister's missing and the other is mortally imperiled."
"Well, you know, we're just getting started."
"You weren't hired when Jeannie went missing?"
"That's when we started the job."
There was some movement inside.
"Hey, can you guys let me out of here?"
The bear shook his head no. "I don't think so, Louis. So it was just coincidence that you met Jeannie that night?"
"No, I knew she was going to be at that party. Jimmy told me. Hey, it's kind of stuffy in here."
"I bet. So what have you guys discovered?"
"About what?"
I glanced at Henry. This may take a while. He nodded as Louis called out, the metal causing his voice to echo a bit.
"What?"
"About the threats to the girls? What have you and the rest of the impromptu task force found out?"
"Not much."
"You're going to have to do better than that if you ever want to get out of the locker, Louis."
"She was seeing somebody."
"Who are we talking about, Jeannie or Jaya?"
"Both."
"Okay, who were they seeing?" I noticed the bear's head had turned, and I followed his view to where another mechanic stood in the doorway, holding the knob. "Are you guys talking to the lockers?"
"We're just talking, and the lockers happen to be here."
There was a banging as I assumed Louis was kicking the door.
"Hey, help, can you get me out of here?"
The man didn't move, looking at us. "I don't suppose you'd like to pretend you didn't hear that?" He glanced at the Cheyenne Nation. "Sure. We'll be out of here in no time."
"Okay."
He shut the door behind him. "Louis, we're running out of time."
"Some old rich white guy."
"Jeannie is, but Jaya is seeing the son of the old rich white guy." The voice from inside the locker grew louder.
"No, same guy."
"The same guy was dating both girls? Digger Wainwright?"
"Yeah, him."
A moment passed and he laughed.
"Wow, we knew something you didn't, huh?"
I sighed. "Shut up, Louis, or we'll leave you in there."
"His son's girlfriend?"
"Both of them." I drove 212, or the straight, as the locals called it, for the number of tribe members who had died on its asphalt surface used by truckers to avoid the way stations at the state borders. I guess we've got to go dig up Digger again, but first, I thought we'd try to have a meet and greet with Artie Smallsong up at the old fire lookout. Henry glanced at his wrist and the vintage Seiko that had been there since the 60s. "We only have time for one or the other. There's a game tonight in Lodge Grass. Jaya gets parole to play, and that is all. Is this the first game of the Big Sky tournament?" "Against arch-rival Lodge Grass, yes. I guess we should be there just to carry bodies." I took the 484 cutoff after we got through Ashland. "I guess we'll just tell Artie he's going to have to postpone the end of the world." I don't know why the Forest Service decided to move the lookout at Yeager Butte 10 miles back in 1954. I suppose it might have had to do with visibility, which wasn't exactly abundant in the more northern side of the Tongue River Breaks hiding and riding area. I got the riding part of the title, but wasn't sure about the whole hiding thing. We took a left at 10 Mile Road, the name of which made a lot more sense, and then another left at Lemonade Spring Road, which I assumed ended at the Big Rock Candy Mountain. It didn't, and I was disappointed when it just led to yet another gravel road that was in pretty rough shape. It ended with a Forest Service blockade with boulders as big as my truck. I guess when the Rangers abandoned a site, they abandoned it with a vengeance. I parked and we got out, Dog leading the way as I studied the path that led upward. "How far?" He straddled the brown-painted log beam like a horse, his gaze lifting, "as I recall, about a half mile." "Up." I looked at the gray skies and pulled my jacket from the truck. Slipping on his black leather jacket, he smiled. "Yes, that is the general direction." Picking up the trail as he and Dog moved ahead, I started thinking about Digger Wainwright and the obvious reasons he might have kept it secret that he'd been involved with both girls. I was also wondering exactly which Wainwright Jaya had been with the night she'd gone missing. The more I got to know Digger, the more I thought maybe he should be in a cage somewhere. I tromped along but felt my hand shift to the middle of my back where the pancake holster held my large frame coat 1911. I knew Artie Small's song and knew he was trouble, and was generally well-armed, and those two, along with a religious zeal, didn't exactly inspire confidence. At the zig of an endless zag, I found Henry and Dog standing in the middle of the path looking up at what could only be described as a fort. What the hell? It would appear that Artie has rebuilt the lookout to suit his own purposes. The bottom portion of the remodeled lookout was entirely encased in native stone, with only one solid heavy door. The upper portion still resembled a fire lookout, but with the interlocking timbers more like an old frontier fort, with no windows, only small slots where a rifle might poke through.